It's Mark Yeagy here, wealth architect and lifestyle investor. Let's take your life to the next level. Welcome to the Wealth Architect Podcast. Hey, everybody, it's Mark Yeagy. Welcome to another Wealth Architect Podcast show. Glad you're here. Our guest today is a professional futures trader with more than 25 years of experience reading price and order flow across multiple futures markets with ES, NQ, RTY, CL, and GC. Those are prominent futures symbols as his core focus. Early in his career, he compiled a documented track record of $15 million in trading profits between 2002 and 2005, a body of work substantial enough to be featured as a case study in Dr. Brett Steenbarger's book, Enhancing Trader Performance. Today, he runs a live daily trade room where he teaches order flow analysis using tools like Bookmap, walking traders through real-time reads on absorption, liquidity, and market structure. He also builds and teaches proprietary trading curricula and speaks frequently on the psychology and mechanics of short-term futures trading. Our guest today, Scott Pulcini. Scott, welcome.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
I went with the Italian spelling and pronunciation. You know, why not? I figured we'd go back to the motherland and honor them a little bit, you know?
Yeah, so, the name actually means little baby chick in Italian, so I don't know how it doesn't really matter how you pronounce it. It's kind of a weird.
That's funny.
Yeah,
that's funny. Well, listen, welcome. You know, I'm fascinated by futures. I got my butt kicked in futures about 35 years ago, and I thought, you know, I think I'm just going to stick to the stock market, in which I've also gotten my butt kicked many times, but have done pretty well as well on the other side. So excited to talk to a futures trader and talk about what you're doing. And I want to kind of dig into that success that you had, you know, back in the early 2000s. Maybe we can find out some tips that we can give some of our traders, because trading is a unique philosophy. But why don't we, before we get into all that stuff for today, why don't we kind of talk about how you got to where you are?
Yeah, so I've been going way back. Speaking of stocks, my grandfather and I used to pick stocks. This is well before the internet. This is, you know, early 1990s, or actually late 80s, where he taught me a little bit about the stock market, and we picked some stocks out of the newspaper and literally have to wait the next day to see how they did, type of thing. So I kind of got hooked there, and then got into this high school competition, the AT&T Investment Challenge. That's what it was called at the time. And did that and finished like in the top, you know, 0.1%. It was all luck, but it got me hooked, right? So that was my interest. So then I went away and that was my major in college, business finance. I wanted to be, you know, around that business. And started out, I was going to be a financial advisor, and I got into that and found out it was pretty boring for what, you know, my personality and what I wanted to do. So a buddy of mine got me a job right around that time, right after I graduated college at the Chicago Board of Trade as a runner. So I was just literally the lowest on the totem pole, running orders back and forth between the pits, and kind of got my feet wet there, making a whopping $200 a week at the time.
Woo-hoo!
And then worked my way up, and I was an arb clerk in the 5-year options pit. And then from there, I went into the bond pit, 30-year bond pit, and that's the big leagues, right? That's where the, you know, all the monster traders were and monster brokers. And so very, very stressful job at the time, where, you know, if you make a mistake, you blow your broker out, you can cost millions of dollars on the spot if you misread one of the hand signals that these guys are firing in, one of the big houses are firing in at you. So, but it got me battle tested, and, you know, I always wanted to be a trader, and, you know, seeing the guys down there and, you know, wanting to be in that on that side of it. And then that's right when, so 2001 was basically right when the stuff started going electronic, and actually the pit started to dwindle, and those types of traders got knocked out of the business. And it's just a great, you know, metaphor for what I went through after that too. So, you know, your bottom line is you're never really secure. Stuff always is changing. But most of those traders got knocked out of the game because they were great traders in that environment because of, you know, the sounds and looking at watching brokers' faces and all this other stuff. And once they were on a screen, they couldn't make any money. So I actually went to the screen at the right time. And little back then, it was the Wild West. There was no education there, you know, as far as, you know, online trading, anything like that. So started for this firm. I begged my buddy to give me a job with one of the guys that had started the firm. He was at the Board of Trade too. He started his own firm called King Street Trading. And they literally you finally got me in there, and I sat down, and there's no education. They say pick a market and see if you can figure something out. That's literally what it was. So I sat down the
Wow.
very first day. I was just trading one lots right back then, and literally just in and out, not even holding position, just trying to figure out something and get the feel. The very first day, I lost $2,500 trading one lots, which is almost impossible. At $12.50 a tick, you can imagine how many times I had to lose $2,500 trading one lots the very first day. So
Yeah.
I actually had broken my loss limit too, though. I think the firm loss limit at the time was 2 grand. I think I went over that, and they were very strict about if you didn't follow their rules, you're out. So I got a warning, and then so I never broke that at the time, but then I proceeded to lose every day for my next 2 months. Every single I didn't have one winning day. The only thing that kept me from being fired at the time was my buddy who got me in there, who was friends with the owner. So I was about to, get fired. And then 9/11 happened, and they closed the markets for a week. The U.S. stock markets were closed, and I still wanted to try to figure something out. So I started coming in overnight and trading the German DAX, that their futures market for their stock market. So, and then I started seeing some tendencies, some patterns. So then when the E-mini S&P or the futures, that's what I decided I was going to trade. When that opened back up, I started to apply some of the things I learned in the German DAX to the E-mini S&P, and all of a sudden one day it just clicked, like what I needed to see. And then I took off from there. I actually went in, and you got to remember, I was about to be fired. I had the gall to go in my owner's the office, and I just started making money, and not a lot, right? I was making like 500 or $1,000 a day. I mean, not a lot relatively, right? The top trader at the time had made 200 or $2.4 million a year before, so it wasn't a lot. But I went in there, mind you, 9/11, I was about to get fired. By the end of the year, in December, I was doing well enough that I had the gall to go in the owner's office and make him a bet that I would be the number one trader the next year at the firm. And he pretty much laughed me out of the office, but he's like, "Sure, whatever you want to bet." So we ended up making a golf trip bet, all inclusive. We went to the Titleist Performance Institute in San Diego. It was a big deal. It wasn't cheap, but I ended up winning that bet. The following year, I was the number one trader in the firm. I think I made 2.8 million in 2002, and then from there I took off. 2003, I made 15 million. I'm sorry, I made 10 million in 2003, and then 2004, I made 1.8 million. So in those 3 years, I made a little over $15 million trading for myself and my firm. So I thought I had made it, killing it. I had the answer, and then overnight, couldn't make money pretty much. Overnight, meaning a few months, literally went from printing money to couldn't make a dollar. That's when the algorithm started taking over the markets, and anybody trades nowadays knows exactly what I'm talking about, right? So
Sure.
it's full-fledged nowadays, but it just started to take hold then. And once that, I was one of the fastest in the world clicking a mouse. I used to average 50,000 contracts a day, round turns, in the E-mini S&P, and that's when I was only trading about 500,000 contracts. So I was 10% of the volume almost every day. That's how active I was and how fast I was. I processed things very quickly. But I didn't process things as fast as a computer, right? So as soon as those computers took over, it was over for me, right? As far as that type of trading is concerned. So then I spent another I end up so my firm, most traders started struggling back then, right? So like I was talking about, the pit traders struggle. Well, now the actual screen traders started to struggle because, my firm, at our height, we were around 70 traders. We went from 70 to 13 in like a year because no one can make money because the algos took over, right? So there's always this progression of new things hitting the market. You got to be ready to adapt, if you
Yeah.
want to hang around. So I spent another 6, 7 years reinventing my trading style. Trying to reinvent my trading style, and I could find nothing to become elite. Like at best, I was an average trader, right? So I'd actually leave the business in 2013 because I had two little girls to support, I had a family to support, and I couldn't make money anymore trading. So I had to go into medical sales. So that was interesting. I went in, I sold genetic testing for about 6 years. Going into doctor's offices and being this little peon sales guy, kissing their butt, they treat you like crap, right? And it's like, talk about eating crow or swallowing your pride, I should say. It's like, so many times I was just treated so poorly. I just wanted to tell these guys, like, do you realize I made more money in 3 years than you're going to make in your entire career, type of thing, right? So
Yeah, sure.
it was a bit of humble pie, put it that way. You go from not making any money and then being treated like that too. So that was it was a rough period. I've gone through the wringer mentally, but my story is a testament to traders that have had the same issue, right? It's like I've never given up, and I it took a pause, and then Fast forward to 2018, Dr. Brett Steenbarger, who's arguably the top trading psychologist on the planet these days. He actually sat behind me when I was at this King Street trading, making all the money, because when he was writing this book, Enhancing Trader Performance, and he asked if he could sit behind me to see what made me elite. So that's how we became close. But I'm throughout that book, and we've been friends ever since. So he called me 2018. He knew I wasn't even trading anymore, and he said, "Hey, you want to take a look at this this software called Bookmap.com?" It reminds me of how you used to view the markets when I sat behind you. And the minute I brought it up, and I'll show you, if we get a chance, I'll show you a little bit what I'm talking about. But it's like it's the orders visualized on a heat map. So the visualizing it this way versus trying to watch these orders spin through the you know order book lightning fast by computers, you can kind of see it in a different aspect. So the minute I saw that, I'm like, I'm back. Then Bookmap, Bookmap knew that I was I was using their software, and they asked me if I wanted to do some webinars for them. And when I got back in the business, I wasn't going to trade futures because I was so jaded from making millions to couldn't make anything. I was going to trade stocks. So my first few webinars with them were stocks. Then a guy from Bookmap named Bruce, he's still there, is their main guy. He kept telling me about this CME MBO data, this enhanced data that was showing these stop iceberg orders. They're unique orders that hit the order book. The icebergs are the big money hiding their orders because they don't want to get algo-fied like I was, right? Because if they put a big order, these algos front run them and things like that. So the minute I saw that information, I'm like, okay, I got to trade futures. This is the most powerful thing I've ever seen in my life. So that is literally, we're talking 8-9 years ago since I've been using that edge. And it's still prevalent today just to show you how powerful the thing is. Because again, my edge that I made millions of dollars with, that disappeared in like 3 years, right? So yeah. This is still alive and ticking. I still the core foundation of my trading. It's what I teach my traders. So when I got back in again, I started to do webinars, and then I started my own trade room because I didn't have, $1 million to throw in a trading account. I didn't even have, $100,000 or $50,000 to throw in a trading account. So I was educating and trading small on these, these prop firm type things and just trying to, make some money to get back in the game. And then fast forward to now, I got the backing to trade live, and, but I'm still teaching too. I love teaching because it keeps me grounded because, sure. If I'm sitting here by myself, I lose my mind. At least when I'm on, on air, I can't completely lose it. So it's just good to, when you're teaching, you can learn things too. And I learn from my students some things that they have. And, so it's been a progression, but you always got to be adapting. And we can get into some of the other stuff that I've employed lately. That is just it's the new market manipulation game with these options, zero date to expiration, options flow into the markets, including stocks. Like if you're trading stocks and you don't know about this flow, you don't have all the information, right? So it's just an example of continuously evolving to stay in the game, right? And that's what I teach people.
Yeah. Fascinating. And really, I have a saying that 90% of all trading is psychology. And I, you probably would agree with that, whether you're going through a slump, which I've had my, my share of slumps, or where you're feeling like you can't do anything wrong. Somewhere in the middle is where you land as a trader. So let's right. talk about, if you don't mind, like what changed, not only between the first however many days where you lost money every single day in a row, and then becoming the the best trader the following year or the year after that. What changed in your mind, in your psychological mind? What rules did you change, or what happened?
I just started seeing these tendencies with, in the order book, and back then, and I can actually, I've got some examples of what it would blow some people's minds that trade now, especially if they trade the mini S&P. Like right now I'm looking at, it's like a bunch of 40 and 50 lots up in the order book. Back then it was thousands of lots, right? So I learned early on that they had the first in, first out type of filling mechanism, right? So I learned, and again, I learned this in the DAX first, and then I applied it in the mini S&P, where, if you can get into the front of the order book and you get filled, you have a second to kind of decide what to do, right? Because these orders resting in the order book, and you get filled first, and there's still some size on that. Say I'm buying, and they're hitting the bid, and I get filled, and there's still some quantity left. I can decide to turn around and scratch the trade or look below me, so decide if I want to get out. Back then, the difference was the size in the order book. One, it was huge. There was 1,000 lots up, and I'll show you that. And it was real, right? Nowadays, I don't care. Yeah. Like, I'm looking at a big order in the order book right now, and I guarantee when that market gets there, it'll disappear, right? So it's these spoofing games that they play. These algos play with, play with the retail traders and things like that. So I just learned this pattern just from watching it. And once I started employing it, I'm like, this works. And the thing with me is when I get something, it's like game on, right? It's like I even back in college, like we play these video games and I would be the worst in the house playing these games, right? I'd get pummeled and then I'd learn it and I'd be the best, right? So it was the same thing with trading. Once I learned it, I'm like, and that's one of my gifts too, is a fast processor. But this is what a lot of traders struggle with, that it doesn't matter to me whether I have a one lot on or a thousand lot on. Right, like back then, I could trade up to 3,000 E-mini futures. It feels the same to me. It's about being right and right or wrong, right? A lot of traders are very good trading one lots or two lots, and then you obviously you say to them, "Hey, trade 20," and then they freeze up. You're talking about the market psychology, right? That's a
Yes.
they get a different mindset and
Bigger
they
money.
start right, and then they panic and they don't make the same decisions, right? So that's one of my gifts as well. I can trade big size versus small. It's just about being right or wrong. So those things combined help me take off very quickly. And when I tell my story, people think that I started out, they sat down at a desk in front of the screen and they handed me 3,000 contracts to trade. I started out trading one lots, right? And then I would go in every week or 2 weeks when I was making money. And of course the firm wants their traders to get big. I go in there and say, okay, I made this much last week. Can I go up to two lots? Yeah. Can I go up to four lots? So I literally built from one lots to be able to trade 3,000 lots in a matter of, basically a year or two, right? So that's my gift. Like if I feel comfortable with something, and I just found a pattern in the market that worked, at the time. And then once that disappeared, though, it was over with. And I had to find another pattern, right? So that's, again, it's good education for traders that I don't care what you think you better always be. Doesn't mean bringing in new things constantly and change, the shiny new indicator. It just means you got to be always aware of what could be changing in the market that you might need to employ in your trading to be able to hang in there and compete.
How do you prevent emotion creep from getting into your trading? Where, whatever the emotion is, you start to, trade out of fear, you try to trade out of greed. Where do how does that affect your trading? Because, I can tell you can have a plan, and most traders don't have a plan. But if you have a plan, a lot of them just won't execute it at the exact moment they need to because they have some emotion creep in there. Can you shed some light on that? Is that a thing?
Absolutely. I mean, you could go back to Mike Tyson on that one. Everyone has a plan, or they get punched in the mouth, right?
That's
And
right.
that
That's right.
things
We say
change.
that all the time. Yep.
I will not pretend that I'm not an emotional trader. It's definitely my weakness to this day. Like I'm just a very competitive person, and I cannot handle losing a lot. I mean, I can handle it, but it still eats at me to this day. And I've been trading 25 years, right? The best way to combat that is you need. One, you need the edge. You need some kind of edge that actually works, right? And that's what I teach, right? So that's the great thing about my trade room, what I teach. It's like you don't have to come in there and wonder if this is an edge. This is an edge. And when I show you some of the stuff just for today, you'll see what I'm talking about. But first and foremost, you need an edge, right? If you have an edge, then you're not questioning it. It's because traders, one, they don't really know if it's an edge. So that's why one time they take the trade, another time they're afraid to take the trade because they don't really believe what they have is
Yes,
an edge, right?
yes.
That's number one. Then you need to have, for your edge, you need to have rules and strict rules of where you're getting out, where you're getting in, where you're getting out if you're wrong, your potential profit targets, things like that. That's all predetermined. You're not deciding that. You're not throwing in an order and trying to decide that on the fly. If you do, you have zero, and I mean zero chance of making it because these algos will mess with your brain like there's no tomorrow. That's what they're there to do. This is a zero-sum game, right? So these firms, these algos are trying to take the retail traders' money, and they know how traders trade. They know they just throw orders in. They know they don't have a plan. They know they trail their stops to break even, crap like that, right? So you have to have an edge. You have to have your strict rules that you follow. And then when you see the setup, you just put the trade on, and you just got to think in probabilities. This is going straight out of Trading in the Zone by Mark Douglas, the best
Yep.
book you can read on trading, especially when you're first starting.
Yep.
You just got to know if you have an edge and you put enough on. And I always use the best analogy to this day is the casino, right? The casino knows they have an edge. Do they win every hand? Do they win every night? No, but they know over a long sample of cards being dealt out that they're going to be a winner because they have the math on their side, aka the edge, right? So they don't panic and shut down the casino when they have a losing night. And they have the exact rules for their game when they deal the cards, right? So you have to approach it like that. One, you have to have the rules, when you're dealing the cards, and then you have to know The other thing too is, you got to know when it's not working, right? So yesterday was a perfect example. Like whatever the hell yesterday was, I've seen that very, very few times in my 25 years. I mean, markets of course go up, but the way it went up without stopping at, all these different important areas that I watch, there's some days you gotta say uncle, and you stop yourself when you hit your certain amount of money that you're supposed to lose, that you can lose for the day. That's also predetermined, right? And I got a couple, if you want to hear those stories, these are not fun to tell, but I had, two different days that I, at the time, my stop limit when I was crushing it was 100 grand. So my firm was supposed to stop me, and I was supposed to stop myself. And both times it was 2 days, literally within, this is even more embarrassing because it happened twice within a month. Both times I was supposed to stop myself at 100 grand, or they were supposed to stop me too. I'm not blaming them, but that's what they're there for, is the risk manager's there
Yeah,
for.
sure.
They didn't stop me. And both times, 2 times within 1 month time, I lost 700 grand in minutes, right?
Yeah.
So if I just would have stopped myself when I was supposed to, clear-headed, when this is all predetermined and clear-headed, and you're not in the heat of the battle, I'd have another, $1.2 million on my bank account. So those things combined, that's how you make it in this business. You have to have the edge, you have to follow your rules, and you have to stop yourself when on days that the edge is not working, because you're going to have days. I don't care what it is, you're going to have a day or days, multiple days in a year, that it just doesn't work, because there's just, these are markets, like especially in the back, I call it headline ping pong, right? With the Iran stuff,
Sure.
every 5 minutes, and I mean every 5 minutes, there's a, Trump's even his media company is even charging now to get the information on Truth Social before it comes out. So I could just
Hundred
tell you,
grand.
right, 100 grand a month, right? And that's how it's been for literally over a year and a half, going back to the tariffs into the Iran thing. It has been incessant headline ping pong, where I don't care what edge you have, there is no way you're going to predict that's going to happen, unless, of course, you're paying for the information beforehand. So my point is that you're going to, that's why it's called probabilities. Not every trade wins,
That's right.
and you're going to get headlined out of your trades all the time. But if you have the edge, you just keep putting on, you stop yourself on days it's not working, and then you build your equity curve, if you have the edge as you grow. But it's not a game for the faint of heart, I can tell you that.
Hey, it's Mark Yeager here to tell you about our cash flow machine trading program that's designed to teach you how to make safe, reliable income. Now, we shoot for 2 to 4% a month of income and growth in your portfolio. And we have courses to teach you how to do this yourself or inside a mastermind community. And the best part of that is it only takes about 20 minutes a week to implement. Now, while 2 to 4% a month doesn't sound like much, I show you exactly how we took my IRA from $111,000 to over $500,000 in just 19 months without huge risk. I'm not telling you this to brag, just to show you that you could do this too. So to learn more about this program, go to cashflowmachine.io. That's cashflowmachine.io, and you can learn more.
Well, it never has been, and it's probably gotten even less so. But shouldn't in the light of that headline ping pong, you call it, I love that name.
Yeah.
What if you just zoomed out, and instead of being more of a day trader or a swing trader, you kind of zoomed out and you traded the positions and didn't get swung around by those headlines? In other words, you had a little more breathing room because you zoomed out a bit. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, you could do that, but how much do you zoom out, right? So it's
Exactly.
like,
Yeah.
there's been like a couple, especially with the tariff stuff. I mean, there were days last year when they said, like whatever the announcement was, when it was bullish, I mean, the market ripped, what was it, one day 10%. So
Yep.
how far is
True.
your stop going to be, right? Like that doesn't
Right.
happen very often. But yeah, I mean, I'm a day trader. I have opinions on the longer term view, and again, that trading is for certain people, right?
That's
Certain
right.
people don't want to micromanage their trading. They don't want to watch every tick of the damn market, and I completely understand that. And the older I get, the more it wears on you. And some people just like to put on. Yeah, there's something to be said for the longer term trader as well. But I teach, this is, I again, I process things very, very quickly,
Yeah.
and I rarely hold stuff overnight. So it's like I'm a day trader. Some people, aren't, and that there's nothing wrong with that. You have to find your personality in the
That's
markets.
right.
You can't be a longer term guy that, panics every time you see it, if you're watching it and you're doing stupid stuff, you got to accept your personality and then apply that to the markets, right? Mine is just fast processing. I do it on a daily day trade basis.
Well, we agree on a lot of things, I can tell you. But if I were just going to summarize, I would say, listen, have a proven plan, proven system that has a plan with it, a written plan with rules and stops and targets and all the things that, every trading book that's ever studied any successful trader will talk about. And then execute that plan and eliminate the emotions as much as you possibly can. And you can be a successful trader in any time frame. And then find
Absolutely.
something that suits your personality. So you said had some things that you wanted to show. So maybe we can do that. And while we're doing that, maybe you can talk a bit about what you do.
So I'll just show you. I never cherry picked to some like some educators, right? Showing the right hand side of the chart after things
I'm with you.
have fired off. So this is the E-mini S&P today, right? So you can see here what the driver of my trading. That's actually a crude trade firing off right there. The driver of my trading are these stop iceberg orders. Let's see. Sure, what's going on there? This is my life here with the technology. There you go.
Sure.
It's done. That was a lot of fills. So the driver of my trading is the CME MBO data, right? We were talking about the stop iceberg information, right? So you can see here on the chart, and let me but so first of all, when I was first introduced to it, this is what it looked like to me, right? So if you can see here, so all you're looking at here is a heat map of the orders in the order book here, right? So everybody knows, anyone who's traded knows what this is. The depth of market just showing the orders up and down the order book, right? Well, when Dr. Brett contacted me, he's like, hey, you want to look at this? Instead of looking at that, you can see this, right? So now you can see where the heaviest orders are in the order book. So these dark orange lines are basically just where the heaviest relative heaviest orders are. That's important to know because these are like magnets and it's the big money that wants their fills. And this is the game I used to play where I would, put a big order in the order book, then I'd push the market into my orders and I'd be out, right? So it's the same games going on. So that's what I teach traders is, instead of getting mad about the manipulation, and you can see right here, you can see the algos in here too. It's whipsaw in the market, putting their orders in and out, trying to scare traders in and out of their positions. But if you can see this stuff, you can actually, instead of complaining about it, that it's all written, the big money runs everything, the algos run everything. If you can see what they're doing, you can take advantage of it, right? So one, I could see the heavy resting liquidity. That's just the big orders in the order books. But the driver of my trading are these stop icebergs. So you can see here, as this market sold off earlier this morning, and you can imagine how important this is, right? So if I'm just looking at this, which most traders are looking at, and to this day, I don't know
Yeah,
how
that's
most of
very
them
clear now,
survived.
just so you know. That window right there is very clear. Go ahead.
All right. Well, it just might be just because you're not used to seeing all this nonsense on on my screen here.
Could be, could be.
And again, it looks very like I have 100 indicators on there. I don't. Once you understand what I'm looking at, it's very, very simple. And again, I've made trading. Back to the days I was scalping, it's as simple as possible. Back when I was scalping, I was just literally looking at this order book and nothing. I didn't even have charts up at the time. That's how simple I make my trading.
Right.
So the stuff is very simplistic once you know what I'm looking at. But if you just look at it for the first time, you might get a seizure looking at the thing. So anyway, if you're a trader here and you're looking at a candlestick chart, this thing's getting crushed. You're like, oh, I want to get in. I want to get in. I don't want to miss the sell-off after yesterday's ridiculousness. Again, this was yesterday. Still don't really know what this was besides the a lot has to do with the options flow, but I mean this was you rarely see this kind of move without some kind of I mean this was the only pullback all day of this. I mean this was 150 points in the E-mini S&P. It's very, very unheard of. And this is a perfect
Sure.
example. Like yesterday I got my ass kicked, pardon my language, because it was an outside day. It was a day that you rarely ever see. You cut yourself off. You say, today's not the day. I'll see you tomorrow. And today, now I'm having a decent day, right? Because of it's back to normal. But anyway, you're looking at this sell-off and you're like, oh, I want to get in. This is finally it. Like I was just reading one of the guys that called the top last time. He was warning today, get ready. There's going to be an epic sell-off. It's like you just laugh because it's like they just keep calling until it finally happens. But say you're looking at this chart, you're like, oh, here's that sell-off this guy was talking about. Okay, I'm getting short. And then that's what you're looking at in a candlestick chart. You have no idea what's inside the candles. And that's Bookmap's mantra is see inside the candles. So I don't know what's really happening in here. When I look at the orders in the order book, now I have a clearer view of what's going on. So So first of all, this is the subchart. This is what Bookmap has always had, right? So they show on the subchart. So you see there was some monster pukes, right? So pukes are usually in their own right. It's not initiative selling. So that another example, like you're looking at a candle and you're seeing these candles going like this. Well, the candle was going like that because someone puked out. And this was huge. This is one of the big stop runs I've seen in a long time. If you look down here in the bottom left, you can see it's not too blurry. 2,000 contract, 2,000 stop runs. So that was a 2,000 lot puke. Usually the pukes are retail traders, right? So somebody puked them big. Somebody puked them big again here. That wasn't anywhere as large as that. But the point is, if you know the move is being caused by people puking, it's not usually initiative selling. So that in its own right tells you this market may reverse, right? Then that so that's the, so this what you see on the chart is basically just that area drawn. The exact price is drawn on the heat map. So a trader in my trade room found a way to draw this information. So I have my own zone drawing tool that's available on the Bookmap marketplace that draws this information on the heat map versus. So I went 7 years drawing this stuff by hand. When I would see this, I go in and draw them by hand on all my webinars, everything else. Now it draws it automatically. So anyway, you get a stop run. So you're right there, you should know, okay, this is just guys puking and this may not continue. Then these blue areas you see here, this is by icebergs, right? So you had 620 by icebergs. Actually, this is more than that. So I have certain thresholds for each market that I look at too, that is a tradable event. I just don't trade every blip on this subchart as far as icebergs and stop runs. It's got to be a certain amount. So this one was over close to 700. Then you had another one here close to 1,000, right? So this is the exact recipe for the market reversing, as far as I'm from my experience, right? One, you have puke, 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 these red boxes, that's these here. So I'm sorry, the very first one was close to 2,000. So you had 2,000 lot stop runs. Then you had buy ice coming in. So again, the buy ice is the big money that they have to hide their orders in the order book because they don't want these algos to front run them, because you can see the size in this order book. If someone comes in here, so this was 1,000 buy ice here. You can see it right there on the subchart. Someone comes in here and puts 1,000 in, these algos will front run that order, trying to get them to chase it because they know the big money a lot of times isn't price sensitive. They just need to get their order done, right? So the way the algos do it, they see the size, they start to buy in front of the called front run, they buy in front of that order and they put all their offers up in here. And they know this entity, this 1,000 lot, has to jump up and pay big higher prices. They're the higher prices. So it's just this big game that goes on. So that's why they have to hide their orders. So my point being is you're seeing this huge sell-off on a candlestick. You're like, oh, this is the big one. This is going to be sell-off. No, it's not. It's puke, puke, and then you see buy ice, and then you see what the market has done so far today. It's snapped right back up, right? So this is the point. If you don't have this information, you just don't have all the information in the marketplace. So you can imagine if you're a good candlestick trader, how much better would you be knowing, oh, here's my candlestick pattern. This is a long, this again, there's a million of them, but this is a long pattern for me. Wouldn't it help you to know as far as your confidence level? Oh, yeah, there's a bunch of buy ice in here. So someone big is buying it here too. And the sell-off was just retail traders puking, right? So now it's go time for potential long type of thing, right? So that's what I trade off of. And this is the core of everything I do. Going back, because I used to be this big money, right? So I used to be able to trade 3,000 contracts. So I know how I used to react when I was wrong. And back then you can see counterparty too. So I can see who I was trading against. So I would see how they would react. So my whole methodology is based on understanding this information and how the markets react to it.
Fascinating. And you're basically just showing price volume analysis in a way that has, there it's clear, but in a way that has just tons of indicators, and then you have a way of reading it, am I right?
Absolutely. This isn't, there's again, this isn't a bunch of indicators. It's basically just the stop ice run where you're seeing all these lines of the, so I have two different types of trades that I trade off of these things. And I could show you literally 20 of them today. Here's a good example on that side, right? So I have position trades because you got to remember, and this is the other thing too. People always say, well, just because someone big's buying there doesn't mean you don't know what they're doing. They could be getting out of longs. They could be hedging options. I don't care what the reason. You're never going to know the reason, first of all. So stop trying to know the reason. And that's another thing. Just for some reason, the smarter you are or smarter a trader is, for some reason, the worse they do, because they want a reason for every single move in the market, right? So this is, for example, like when I get like I've had astrophysicists in my room and doctors and They're like, well, what is this entity doing? What are they trying? You don't need to know what they're doing. You're not going to know unless you're sitting next to the guy. What you need to know is this activity is concentrated area of traders. When this moves out of here, someone's right, someone's wrong. In this instance, someone was selling this thing into this huge buy ice. They're wrong. They need to get the hell out, right? So the two types of trades I have is position trades that I look for the bigger moves, like this one here. This is already a 20 plus point move. And then we have a reversion trade. So for some reason, because these algos know this, there's multiple reasons this happens, but this is a reversion trade. This is the Nasdaq, right? So the Nasdaq came back. I could literally show you 20-day cross markets, crude, Nasdaq, everything else. The Nasdaq tagged. So I look at the 5-minute, the ATR to show me the volatility. This is a 5-minute ATR. So 34.8 down here means it's rotating about 35 points every 5 minutes. Very important to know. Very important for any traders to know the volatility because a lot of these traders trade static, and I'm talking stocks or anything else. You want to know what their average true range is because some days, I get this all the time in the Nasdaq. Well, I like to risk 10 points when I put on my Nasdaq trade to make 20. Well, great. That's great when the ATR is like 15. When the ATR is 60, 70, 80, like it's been, you're risking 10 points. You're going to get stopped out of your trade every single time just on the normal rotations because it's so volatile, right? So anyway, I've developed a trade just from watching so many of these is the markets tend to hit the one, the two, or the three ATR, and that's what these other lines are, and come back to the volume event. So this is more of a scalp trade that's more comfortable for a lot of traders because a lot of traders have a problem sitting in trades and watching it do this for hours, right? This trade literally takes advantage, and you can see this arm. It drew right when it hit the one ATR, and it drew when it came back to the zone. So you're literally in at the ATR, and you're out of the zone. So this is another type of trade that I take. It's more of a scalp. So between those two trades, it's the best edge that I've ever seen in futures trading.
Fantastic. That's really cool. Okay. Really detailed and really cool. And if it's something you do every day, I'm sure you're teaching it, right? So talk to us a little bit about your business and how you help people get to the next level or learn some of the things that you know.
Yeah, so I've had a trade room. So again, like I said, I started doing the Bookmap webinars, and then I got some requests to start my own trade room. So I started my own trade room in 2020, right around COVID. And it was actually I was still in medical sales at the time, and I was just getting, COVID actually propelled me to do this. Okay, I'm going to do this full time because now I got my trade room. And so I started teaching in 2020, and still going strong. I have a Discord trade room, and I have actually some distinct courses. I can give you links to all this stuff, but I have courses. One is the Stop Iceberg course that goes over these exact. I have six distinct setups that I look for, and then I have a trading strategies course. And all that is I'm looking for these setups in my important areas. And again, my other traders may have their own important areas, and it's not for me to tell a trader what area they think is important or what they think is important. Some trade off Bollinger Bands, Fibonacci's, or whatever. What I'm telling you is to get this information, what's inside the candle. In your areas that you think are important, now you have yourself a real edge. So I have that course, the Stop Iceberg course. I have the trading strategies course, and then I have a course on this reversion trade.
Got it.
And then I have a then I have a the daily trade room where I get in, I trade live, just like I go over these setups all in the morning, an hour and a half in the morning, and then the hour in the afternoon. So that's basically what I'm doing now, and trading
Fantastic.
live myself too. So.
Okay. Well, awesome. This has been very eye-opening, and we agree on a lot of stuff. I don't day trade, and you don't do what I do, but that's what makes the world go around. Why don't you tell us
Right.
where people can figure out, find you, and figure out whether they want to do some work with you.
Yeah, so my Twitter is or X is Scott Pulsini Trader or Scott Pulsini TR1. And then this is actually a flip book with everything I use in my trading. And I'll show you, this is my contact information. So here's those courses I was talking about. So if you just go to my Twitter page, this is the pin message. Here's the drawing tool I was talking about. But if you go
Sure.
over here, here's how you can contact me. Email is scott@scottpulsinitrader.com. Here's my Twitter, YouTube. I post a lot of the stuff there that I do. And then here's a podcast that kind of goes over the story that we went over today. So that's how you can contact me. And my main site, like I said, scottpulsinitrader.com.
Super. Well, Scott, thanks for being a great part of Wealth Architect Podcast. This was really fascinating and brought me back to my old trading roots from the late 90s. And, it's just kind of fun. So, thanks a lot. I wish you lots of luck. And I know you're doing really well for other people and helping them learn. So that's what makes the world go around. I appreciate your time and wisdom.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Mark. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. And everybody else who's listening and watching, thanks for joining us. And remember what I always say, never give up your power and your health, your wealth, or your time. And I'll see you next time on the Wealth Architect Podcast. Take care.
You've been listening to the Wealth Architect Podcast with Mark Yeagy. Follow us on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Like and subscribe on YouTube. Share and tell your friends. See you soon.